The best programs that will aid our development pillars of foundation, participation, and excellence will cost 90% of the programs at grassroots, community, and regional level that will be highlighted in the fast approach in season 2 and beyond the try line suffers from lack of funding or lack of resources to aid the pillars of our development over the long term. As such, today's share will focus on 3 ways to lower costs while still focusing on doing the basics well, training, participation in games, and striving for excellence as administrator, coach, or player to plan and manage within budgets, accounting for income and expenditures for programs and competition. I'm Huntley Anderson. This is Beyond the Try Line. Welcome to the pitch. This is your coach speaking. You are listening to Beyond This Point, The Cost of Glory. Program cycles usually last 3 to 4 months, 12 to 16 weeks to prepare for programs or competitions. Whether that is ideal or not, that is for another conversation. The average team size is 12, 18, or 22 participants across different age grades or levels, depending on the variant of the game as well. There is usually a 12 to 24 game cycle, including all levels, with the minimum operating competition engagements at 6 to 12. Some teams or some programs may pull out of their respective competitions because of funding, injury, or inability to sustain programs because of the overall cost. The average annual cost per participant hovered between $14,200 Jamaican to $31,500 Jamaican just to play the sport for a program or across a competition each year. I'll try to break it down in essentials: food, equipment, travel, injury, and miscellaneous. For a season, the cost for food was $10,800 to $18,800. And this is just talking about basic match day lunches. For equipment, which included ball and gears, for ball, we're looking at $9,500, and that is just for 5 balls. And for gears, we're looking at $4,100 per player, which included shirt, shorts, and mouth guards, not including socks or shoes, and that is on the thinnest of budgets. Insurance fees range between $1,200 per participant to $3,000 per participant. And remember, it is not if, is when someone will be injured. Each season, at least one program or respective teams would have suffered major injury. The bulk of our expenses involved travel. If we should look at it, whether it was local transportation, regional transportation, would have accounted for at least 60% of our budgets. I will stick to the local context of those traveling in taxis or traveling via buses. Average cost per participant for travel be between $500 to $1,000 for a round trip. If we are operating at the minimum, we are talking at least 12 trips to a championship or tournament. I'm going to just throw out some overall costs for you. Overall costs, excluding travel, run a program be $219,000 Jamaican. Travel costs $310,000 Jamaican, with injuries miscellaneous accounting for another $200,000. Think about it. This is serious money. Program's costs will further skyrocket if the coach is paid even in the format of a stipend. The model of volunteerism is not sustainable without collective hubs of excellence and personal resilience of having your programs generate even 20% of your overall costs. At this time, pause the episode and create a parking lot or takeaway menu of what are your costs incurred as an administrator, coach, or participant in executing or delivering the services of the game. If you are an administrator, coach, or player, identify what percentage of your overall expenditure is for equipment, travel, medical, support staff, and even facilities that you train at, even if they are located on school campuses. Please use the opportunity to look at ways in which we can fund each of those operations identified or acquire cash flow through revenue from support, collective bargainings, equitable shares, and other cost-effective economical engagements that involves us training or playing versions, different versions of the game, and looking at sports as a business. Thanks for identifying ways or means in which you can fund each of those operations. With our reflections, our shared experience within our community, I want to share with us ways in which we can lower program costs at the grassroots, community, club, and even at the regional level when we seek participation. One, reuse or build equipment. Two, pool resources. Three, forecast and planning using budgets or structured plans that involves pooling financial resources. These may look different for each listener. These are based on your needs or your program plans. For me, reuse or build equipment is where I'm of the mindset that no equipment goes in the garbage as long as it is safe to use. Where ball is deflated, cut it, place sand in it, and use it for strength and conditioning. Build tackling tubes from sponges. Use Velcro to cover them. And where necessary, use other waste materials to build cones and or other equipment that may aid in you delivering the sport. Pooling resources for me is really centralizing the sessions within our community. Host joint sessions, talent camps, or walk-in sessions with a system template of activities. Engaging the participants with circuit-based training in whole and part. Think Engage Grid, where you warm up the participants using a set of speed activities or agility drills, and it is consistent across the programs or the groups that come in within the programs. Think about Activate, because we have to get participants rugby ready. Strength and conditioning are strength endurance drills, which can be in the format of Animal Farm or biomechanics, crawling, you know, using your limbs where you don't need gym equipment. So it's really using the environment to train or have the program deliver services that does not require the participant to pay. Forecasting and planning for me is really looking at budgeting, you know, bargaining or fundraising, and allowing members to throw dues within a system that is tied to a bank account for the program or the team. Once this is done, you will be able to provide reports to guardians and caretakers through published documents within plans on how to double or triple funds after each of those reporting cycles, while improving the service delivery in the programs to make sure that individuals know what standards and what services are being offered within those standards. When we go to a competition for sevens, they may buy ice, but they pool their resources knowing that this is something that is budgeted. When they travel on the highway, they come up with their own toll fees, and collectively, they document what it is that their overall costs would have been to impact the next planning phase. I would want to caution us or place a red flag up on pay to play. In our context, the participants just don't have it. Most of the participants coming in are desirous to try the game, play the game, but they are from a particular socioeconomic background. They will have difficulties paying, whether it is at the grassroots level, regional level, and as such, I've seen where those practices have led to the exclusion of participants. We must re-examine that model. If we do consider pay-to-play at the regional level, I would say avoid it at the grassroots and community level. And if you use it, ensure that you create equitable, fair access for all based on transparent criterions for the participants to have equal opportunity, and that programs and individuals do not become burdened by plugging their own resources over and over again. Where it is that we can provide aid in a structured way, provide such aid through budget, forecasting and planning, and outlining the respective competition calendars. We normally like to refer to it as calendar of events. Here beyond, let's become disciplined to set up guidelines and access support from collective bargaining models, which involves participants, guardians, caretakers, which will strengthen our position on accessing potential investors. I'll end with these takeaways. Regardless of the level of the sport that is being played or developed, it will cost. We must adopt a financial model, not just from the first world model, but a model in our context to impact the constraints of the finances of programs and move away from just turning up to participating in competition. Create support and aid incentive programs which creates a particular development skill or service and allow them to pool their resources to aid others that may not be strong in a particular skill development. Educate and foster habits of self-sustainability in their organizations or their programs to deliver services that will impact the guardians and the caretakers within that community. It is for us to identify costs per participant, costs for competition, operations costs in general, and develop a hybrid financial model that will set limits on our spending, improving accountability of our spending, identifying toolkits of excellence within our community, and pooling the resources of caretakers and guardians so that it improves confidence in their investment. Let's budget, bargain, examine equitable shares, facilitate economic engagements as we explore more cost-effective practices that will impact the next set of participants. There you have it, listeners. Thanks much for joining us on another episode of Beyond the Trial.